Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By cultivating philosophical knowledge, one can understand his spiritual position and thus be liberated. And by performing sacrifices and pious activities, one can achieve sense gratification in a higher planetary system. But the devotional service of the Lord is so rare that even by executing hundreds and thousands of such sacrifices, one cannot obtain it. Everyone can please repeat. By cultivating philosophical knowledge, one can understand his spiritual position and thus be liberated. And by performing sacrifices and pious activities, one can achieve sense gratification in a higher planetary system. But the devotional service of the Lord is so rare that even by executing hundreds and thousands of such sacrifices, one cannot obtain it. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj instructs, Matirna Krishne Parato Svato Bha Mito Pipadyata Griha Bratanam Naisham Matista Varanukramangrim Spishat Yanato Bhagamo Yadarta Mahiyasam Padarato Bishekam Niskinjananam Na Vibrit Prinitayavat. These slokas are to be discussed. Their purport is that one cannot obtain Krishna bhakti or devotional service of the Lord by official execution of Vedic rituals. One has to approach a pure devotee. Sri Narottam Das Thakur sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Payeche Keba. Who has been elevated without rendering service to a pure Vaishnava? And it is the statement of Prahlad Maharaj that unless one is able to accept the dust from the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava, there is no possibility of his achieving the platform of devotional service. That is the secret. The above-mentioned Tantra Vachana, quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is our perfect guidance in this connection. So here, the verse we're discussing is a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now if we go back a few verses, of course this chapter, I'm just going to say a few things. Please excuse me if there's any repetition, because I wasn't here in the previous days. So, anyway, because I wasn't here, I'm free from guilt, maybe, of repetition. The chapter begins. Usually, at the first verse of every chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells the meaning of the verse. So, the meaning is, he says, I offer my respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog. And although I am a fool, I have suddenly taken to the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what does that mean, that I have become like a dancing dog? And later on in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that, because the title is entitled Taking the Order, what is it? The author receives the order of Guru and Krishna. So, many Vaishnavas instructed him to write about Chaitanya's later Leelas, which was not so much covered by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he took that as the order of the Vaishnavas. And then the deity of Madan Mohan, he gave him the indication that he should do this. Because a devotee naturally feels unqualified. Srila Prabhupada said that writing in Krishna consciousness is not so much done to enlighten others, but to purify oneself. Otherwise, that's the intent of the author. Because it would be very proud of oneself to think that I will purify everyone. But sometimes we speak on Krishna consciousness and we beg because the Vaishnavas are requesting us. They're requesting us to please speak. So because they request, we have to do it. And therefore, by doing it, we have to serve the Vaishnavas. But a devotee considers this by their mercy. So this is the theme. And therefore he says, I'm like a dancing dog. A dancing dog means if you hold some food up, the dog will dance. No. It's not like the dog has acquired some artistic ability to dance by his own, on his own merit. But he's dancing because someone is inducing him to do so. Well, he's saying that just like a dancing dog. Otherwise, I have no credit. The credit goes to Madan Mohan. The credit goes to Vrindavan Das Thakur and all the Vaishnavas who have given me this mission. And then he says, and although I am a fool, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in another place in Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually I have no qualification to perform this service. That if anyone hears my name, they will lose their pious activities. And I am just like a worm in stool, as far as my own personal desires. This is the humility of a Vaishnava that is required to get the order of Guru and Krishna. So getting the order of Guru and Krishna means the same as, like he says here, that means getting mercy. Otherwise, getting mercy, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, that getting the mercy of Krishna means that we get orders. Like many times people say, especially if one is in a position of Brahman or some position in Varnashram that's considered worshipable, then people say, can you give me blessings? But the blessing is to get an instruction. No. And blessings are not some electromagnetic magical impulses that someone sends out and all of a sudden my material life will become very happy and will become very nice. And this is reflected in this verse. Jnanata sulabha muktir. Because even by material calculation, and this will cover, I won't get into it so much because it's the subject of tomorrow's class, but Krishna says that liberation I can give to anyone. No, not a problem. No. And what to speak of sense gratification? I don't even deal with that. No. That's done by karma, the laws of karma. That's done by the demigods. I don't give anyone sense gratification. And I don't really even give them liberation. That's also done by a mechanical process. Aruya krichtraina param param tata. That one, after so many difficult austerities and penances, can achieve what we designate as liberation. Because what Krishna designates as liberation, what a devotee considers liberation, is to be free from any obstacle in performing devotional service. For a devotee, liberation doesn't mean leaving this world. But for a devotee, liberation means that I'm free from jnana and karma. Jnana karma na vrittaha. That I'm free from these things so that I can serve Krishna nicely, so that I can make Krishna happy. Now what it says here, one cannot obtain bhakti even after hundreds and thousands of sacrifices and austerities and penances. One cannot attain bhakti. Kapila Dev, in the third canto, he describes devotional service in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But actually, strictly speaking, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that there is no devotional service There is no real bhakti in the modes of passion and ignorance. And even in the mode of goodness, if one is still attached to the mode of goodness, this is not real bhakti. This is actually niskama karma yoga. And this is gone over again and again by the commentators. Srila Prabhupada didn't comment on Bhagavad Gita that way. He didn't speak so much about niskama karma yoga and all the technicalities that the previous commentators spoke. Prabhupada just said buddhi yoga bhakti, you know, karma yoga bhakti. Because these are preliminary stages of bhakti. Niskama karma yoga means, yes, I have devotion. I want to serve Krishna. But I want to serve Krishna my way. No. But bhakti means I want to serve Krishna his way. Whatever he's requesting. And the perfection of bhakti, as is explained in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, in the story of Yayati Maharaj and Puru, that the purest form of bhakti, which is explained in terms of one's son's serving, is not even that the Lord requests us to do something and we do it gleefully, we do it happily, we do it joyfully, but we anticipate what Krishna wants. We understand the desires of Krishna so carefully. We study the desires of Krishna, we hear from Krishna, and we want to anticipate so that Krishna doesn't even have to undergo the effort of telling us what he wants. We want to know Krishna so... Of course, no one can know Krishna perfectly, but we want to know. And how do we know Krishna? From his devotees. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says here, and quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, some famous verses, that if we want to serve Krishna, he begins by the first verse. Srila Prabhupada says, so we'll do it. He says, these shlokas should be discussed. So because he's ordering us to discuss them, we'll discuss them a little bit. So the first shloka, Matir na Krishne parato svato va, mito vipadyata, that Krishna cannot be understood by one's own efforts, by a combined, by hearing from in some lecture, like now we're hearing a lecture. So we're trying to pave the path for understanding Krishna. But this is talking more like Vedic lectures, nor by a combination of the two. It cannot happen that way. Because Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamisram. Because as long as our senses are uncontrolled, it doesn't matter how many things you hear. Just like we're sitting here in front of the deities, well, but right now they're busy, but they'll give us our darshan. We're sitting here in front of Srila Prabhupada. Yet, if one's mind is plagued by sense gratification, one can be sitting here in front of the deity, even in the midst of a kirtan, and one can be thinking about Maya. This is very possible. Maybe none of you have experienced this, but I have. When there's some desire in the mind, then you're in the middle of the kirtan, you're thinking about something else besides the holy name. And what to speak of japa, chanting japa. We chant japa, and like Mahatma Prabhu, sometimes he would speak about this in his japa seminar called boredom japa. As soon as you start chanting, immediately you think, well, now what can I think about for the next 2 hours? Because I'm going to be so bored chanting the holy name, so let me figure out something to think about. So this is the... We have to be very careful. And this is the subject matter which this verse is continuing upon. So I just wanted to go back a little bit, but well, I'll just finish what Srila Prabhupada ordered us to do to discuss these verses. So, puna punas charvita charvananam. That as long as we are attached to sense gratification, then Krishna, it will not be Krishna, possible for Krishna to appear in the heart. There's another mantra from the Katha Upanishad, that nayam atma pravachanena labhyo. that even if one attends so many classes, so many lectures, which is talking about more like Vedic revelation, not talking about Srimad Bhagavatam class, because in Srimad Bhagavatam class, the subject matter is being revealed by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. But, you know, talking about otherwise, and Namedaya, even if you have great intelligence, Nabahuna Shrutena, and even if you read so many scriptures, even if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, which are full of purports that reveal everything so wonderfully, you know, but Yami Vaisya Binute Tena Labhyas, the meaning will remain concealed. Tasyaisha Atma Bibinute Tanum Swam, until Krishna decides that he wants to reveal it to you. That is, when Krishna wants to reveal himself, his form, his qualities, he will do that. And when will he do that? When will he decide that? When we take the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Taking the mercy of Vaishnavas is not such an easy thing, because it's not mechanical. It's an activity of the heart. And this is being explained by the previous verses, which now I'll go back to before we go on to the next verse that Srila Prabhupada wants to discuss in his purport. So, Srila Kishindas Kaviraj Goswami, in developing this subject matter up to this point, where he referred back, and I think it's like text number 8 or 9, maybe it's... about knowledge. The education cultivated by so-called learned scholars who do not believe these statements of Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the tumultuous croaking of frogs. One who does not accept, what is he talking about? What knowledge is he talking about? One who does not accept the glories of Panchatattva, but still makes a show of devotional service to Krishna, cannot attain the mercy of Krishna. And then he gives the example of Jarasandha. He says Jarasandha was a great devotee of Vishnu, in the sense he had very beautiful, elaborate, he was very wealthy, he was a king. So he had very beautiful, elaborate worship of Vishnu. But what was the purpose of the worship? To get some material benefit. That Vishnu will bless my kingdom, and that Vishnu will give me all power, and that Vishnu will satisfy my desires. That was it. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says he and others who think like that, who even perform devotional service, or what they consider that is devotional service. Because we can do so many things. Just like you can offer, you can cook a feast and you can offer it to Krishna. But it's up to Krishna to accept. And so we can, you know, we can do what we call devotional service. But it's up to Krishna to accept it. And when will Krishna accept? He will accept according to the condition of our heart. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, if you don't worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can never worship Krishna properly. And if you don't understand Krishna properly, you can never understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So either one of these conditions is ultimately demoniac. This was the development of the theme. And then he goes into what's leading to this verse that we're discussing now, scholarship. He says, some devotees will consider that scholarship is necessary, because how will one, you know, unless one has the proper discriminating ability, how will one understand the difference between God and, you know, analyze all these things? But he says this analysis, this is two verses back, very famous verse. Srila Prabhupada quotes it so many times. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dhoi, Koraho Bichar, Bichar Korite Chitte, Pabe Chamatkar. That if you want to use logic, yes, you must use logic. Just like Bhagavad Gita, we recommend everyone as in the Sambandha stage of devotional service, when we're developing our connection with Krishna, that we study Bhagavad Gita very, very carefully. And even before studying Bhagavad Gita, you study Srila Prabhupada's books, elevation from Krishna to Krishna consciousness, topmost system of yoga, all these small books that Srila Prabhupada wrote, which are actually explanations of different chapters of Bhagavad Gita and different parts of Bhagavad Gita and introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Then, this is for development, understanding Krishna by using our logical ability, which takes us to the point of surrender. But even to deeply understand Bhagavad Gita can't be done with logic. No. Logic can be applied, but then ultimately the mercy of the Lord allows us to understand it. But he says, if you are interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bichara korila chitte. Otherwise, don't use logic which comes from the intellect. Use logic which comes from the heart. No. We have three types of vision. No. We have our material vision, these eyes, very incomplete, very unsatisfactory, the results that they give. And Srila Prabhupada says, we don't know what's going on in the next room. No. We don't know what the deities are doing here. We know they're there, but we don't know what's going on. We don't know, we can't see with these eyes at night. No. So very incomplete. But in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Pashyante Jnana Chakshushaha. And if you want to see things properly, develop eyes of knowledge. Otherwise, with your intellect purified by this process of Krishna consciousness, you can see things with your intelligence in the proper way. And seeing with the eyes of knowledge is the beginning of really deepening our Krishna consciousness. But the best eyes, Primanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane Na Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Vilokayanti, the best eyes, are the eyes of the heart. But those eyes cannot be opened unless our eyes of knowledge are fully developed. And unless our ordinary material eyes are purified by seeing the form of the Lord, by seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So when we apply our intelligence properly through the heart, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we can see things as they are. And then he gives us a warning in the previous verse, which is also a very important verse, and this verse will be followed up after maybe 8 or 9 more verses. No? Bahu janma kodi jadi shavana kirtana. That even if you chant the Maha Mantra for hundreds and thousands of years, but if you don't have attachment to the Krishna Pade Premadan, if you don't have attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna, then and why will you not have it? Of course, Srila Prabhupada interjects this, which he's taking from, I think it's verse number 25 or 26. One of these verses is coming up. Yes. That if you commit offenses, so Srila Prabhupada is anticipating that will be coming, and he mentions offenses, although it's not technically mentioned in the previous verse, that there's no mention of offenses, but there's a mention of, you can chant for a long time, but if you don't develop attachment for the lotus feet of Krishna, then you won't get premadan, you won't get the treasure of ecstatic love of Krishna, of pure devotional service. And that, then we come to today's verse, that bhakti cannot be had by even hundreds of thousands of all these previous activities, cultivating philosophical knowledge, bhukti mukti siddhikam, bhukti mukti siddhikam, Shakaliya Shanta, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Atayeva Shanta. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains the evolution of the living entity to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila. So he explains how, the living entity goes through all these stages, from a non-moving living entity to a moving living entity, to a through birds, beasts, aquatics, birds, beasts, human being, uncivilized human beings, Vedic pretenders who chant Vedic mantras but don't follow things strictly, or those who follow things strictly but don't understand the purpose of the Vedas. Then the jnanis, among millions of jnanis, one may be a mukti, and among thousands of muktis, one may be a devotee. Because all these other processes, you know, although they're recommended in the Vedas, there's so many things recommended in the Vedas, you know, but but the purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. And just like it says, Vedishu Dhulaba, Adhulaba Atma Bhaktav. Lord Brahma says that if you try to understand me through the Vedas, then it'll be very difficult. But if you try to understand me through the process of devotional service, which is given by the devotee, then it will be very easy to understand me. Otherwise, the purpose of the Vedas. So, to think that we can understand the Vedas, that we can chant the original Vedic mantras and understand the Vedas. Well, if it would have been that way, why was Srila Vyasadeva feeling despondent? After he explained, he revealed the Vedas, he divided them into four sections. He made Vedanta. He wrote the Puranas and the Mahabharata. And he even wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the 18 Puranas was the Srimad Bhagavatam. But it wasn't the Bhagavatam that we have now. It was like a condensed version, with all the philosophical parts. But the bhakti was not fully developed. And he had done all that, but he was feeling incomplete. So, and that's Srila Vyasadeva. And then Narada Muni instructs him. Therefore, Lord Shiva says that aham ved mi shuka vetti vyasa vetti na vetti va. That I may know something about the conclusion of the Vedas. Maybe I do. Maybe Shukadev does. And Vyasadev, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Otherwise, it's not so easy. No. How do we understand it? By the mercy of the parampara. Otherwise, any one of us may not understand fully. Srila Prabhupada said that when my spiritual master spoke, he spoke such elevated philosophy that maybe I understood 25%. No. But I like to hear. No. So, the real essence of hearing is our surrender to the hearing process. It's not that our ability to analyze everything intellectually and break it down and digest it and understand it in so many different ways. We may or may not have that ability. But if we have the ability to please Krishna by some simple service, then that is the most important thing. So, so he says, so going back to the purport here, Prahlad Maharaj says that, he says in the next verse, which Srila Prabhupada doesn't mention here, that, Nate vidur swartakatim hi Vishnu, urashaya ye bahirartha manina, that, people, the reason that they can't really understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is because they don't understand their own self-interest. This is the biggest problem. We don't understand what is good for us. Because as long as we are subjected to sense gratification, as long as we are involved in this material world, or even as it says here, cultivating knowledge. As long as we're cultivating knowledge, as long as we're cultivating sense gratification. I mean, sense gratification, it says here, Jagya Adi Punyata, by so many pious activities. And Shukadeva Goswami says in the 10th canto, how many pious activities did these cowherd boys perform in order to be playing directly with Krishna? What did they do? And of course the answer is, it wasn't by pious activities. No. He's just showing us. Just like here, the conclusion of this verse, very difficult to attain bhakti. No. So that's one of the six characteristics of bhakti. No. That it's sudurlabha. It's very, very difficult to obtain. Meaning that is very confidential. It's not that bhakti in itself, the execution of bhakti, on externally speaking, is very easy. No. Patram pushpam param toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Or as Srila Prabhupada says so many times, just chant and be happy. Anybody can do that. No. I mean, any one of us can do that, physically speaking. We can speak, we can say the holy name. But to do it properly, that requires a lifetime, minimum a lifetime of preparation. No. Actually, some of our previous acharyas say that it requires minimum three lifetimes. From the time you come to the point of executing bhakti steadily, the platform of nishtha, it takes three lifetimes. No. But Srila Prabhupada, everything the acharyas say is ultimately adjusted by the last acharya. So Srila Prabhupada said, you should do it in one lifetime. No. Why wait three lifetimes? No. And Prabhupada said, I know of two occasions, and probably many more, but it said in two occasions that if you just follow these four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 rounds every day, then I guarantee you in this life you will see Krishna face to face. Of course, we're already seeing Krishna face to face. No. That's His mercy. He already did that. No, here is the Supreme Lord in His most beautiful manifestation. Srila Prabhupada said here in this temple that these are the most beautiful deities. Of course, He also said it in New Vrindavan. When He said that here, one devotee said, "The Prabhupada, you said that about Radha Vrindavan Chandra." He said, "Yes, this is possible for Krishna. He can be the most beautiful in many places." No. Just like when Madhavendra Puri was bringing the sandalwood back to Gopal. So when he reached the Gopinath temple, Gopal said, "Myself, Gopal, and Gopinath, we're the same. You just give the sandalwood and camphor to the priests here and they can apply it to my body and I'll be happy." Because Krishna assigns us to do so many things, but His real, most innermost desire is to see that we use it properly, that we do it properly, we do it with the proper attitude. Because ultimately, Krishna has unlimited sandalwood. You know? Krishna has unlimited camphor. Krishna has, as Srila Prabhupada said, what is the use of your burnt chapatis? You know? Otherwise, even if we make the best chapati, and I know many of these ladies here, and maybe many of you probably make perfect round chapatis, you know. But our chapati compared to Srimati Radharani's chapati, you know. I mean, she doesn't even make chapatis. It's like, that's like staple food, you know. She makes like unbelievable. So what is the, you know, how are we, is the perfection of our chapati or even our sandesh or our burfi going to compare to the gopis, to Srimati Radharani? No. It's not going to compare. No. But the effort we put into it, to making it as good as we can possibly do, that is what Krishna's interested in. No. It's not like a competition. Let me see if I can, you know, reach Radharani's stage of perfection. No. It's a desire to get her mercy. And maybe she would allow us to do it, empower some of the cooks. I've tasted some pretty wonderful prasadam coming from the deities, so I'm sure that the cooks are being very much empowered by Sri Radha. But it's not a competition. Krishna is not expecting us to achieve something so, so great as the greatest devotee. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that we cannot aspire to achieve the level of renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. No. What we can do is we can achieve the best that we can possibly do. It's not even a relative thing. It's not that we're comparing ourselves to other devotees. Because when you compare yourself, then you have a tendency to, the false ego has a tendency to kick in, and we think, "How I want to be better than this devotee." But we should be trying to be better than the other devotee. But not to think that we want to do the service better, but we don't want to be better. But the other devotee is my inspiration. And therefore we're thinking, this devotee is pleasing Krishna so nicely. Let me please Krishna even more so that Krishna will be happier. No. This devotee did such a wonderful service. Therefore, let me try to even do that service better so that Krishna will be happy. Not that so I can say, this devotee is like B string, I'm A string. No. That's the danger in relativization of our devotional service. We have a tendency to compare to others. So, here, there's a comparison going on. But the comparison is that first is mentioned pious activities, yajnas, sacrifices, all these things, austerities, and even the cultivation of knowledge. Lord Brahma speaks about the cultivation of knowledge. That pantas tu koti shatavatsara sampagam yo vayoratapi munipung vayoratapi what is it manasa munipungavanam sopyasti yat prapada simyavichinte tatve govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. Even those who are on this platform, which is first mentioned here, jnanata sulabha muktir, who are so well versed in Shastra, who are such great yogis that for thousands of years they've been doing these yoga exercises, or who have been studying their whole lifetime Shastras and they know all kinds of Shastras, just like the Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit in the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so learned. He was so vastly learned that he could. Nobody could even approach his learning. He knew the whole Bhagavatam by memory, every verse. And he knew so many other Shastras by memory. Just like we can see the Goswamis, when they write commentaries on different, and they write Shastras, they say, so such and such is said and such, they didn't have, Veda base, or they didn't have internet, They memorized these things. They read a Shastra, they read Vishnu Purana, and they remembered. They may have to look it up, one or two verses again, but they remembered all these things. Such great memories. Shrutidhar. But these devotees, with all that ability, Devananda Pandit, he couldn't understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could not appreciate Chaitanya because he had committed an offense against Srivas Thakur. And he begged. He even came to the point, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him one day while they crossed paths in Navadvip. And Mahaprabhu just looked at him, because the first introduction we have to Devananda Pandit is that Mahaprabhu was passing near his ashram and he heard him chanting the Bhagavatam and it disturbed his mind. Otherwise, it was the Bhagavatam. But as Sanatana Goswami says, milk touched by the lips of a serpent becomes poisonous. So the Bhagavatam spoken by Devananda Pandit was like poison to the ears of Mahaprabhu. Because he knew this person has offended Srivas Thakur. How can anything he says have any value? Even when he speaks the Bhagavatam, it will certainly be poisoned. So Mahaprabhu was told the devotees, I'm going to run in there and tear up this Bhagavatam. He was so angry he was going to tear up the Bhagavatam. We worship the Bhagavatam. Of course, Mahaprabhu can do these things. And the devotees said, no, this wouldn't be a good precedent. Otherwise, we'll have people tearing up Bhagavatams all over the place. So Mahaprabhu restrained himself. But the next time he saw him, he said, "You are such a rascal. You have offended the pure devotee Shivas Thakur. Don't you remember?" And that was a crime of omission, not a crime of commission. He didn't directly offend Shivas Thakur. He simply allowed others to offend him, and he didn't do anything about it. By this, he said, even if you study for millions of years, you will simply go to hell. Devananda Pandit. And he had already heard from everybody that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a sannyasi. Of course, the first time he met him, he wasn't a sannyasi, but then later on as a sannyasi. He is the Supreme Lord himself, but he couldn't understand that. And he begged others to tell him, "What can I do?" And they said, "You have to get the mercy of his devotees." He didn't know how to get the mercy of the devotees because he was thinking that everything happens on the intellectual platform. But then by Krishna's mercy, by his desire to have that mercy, Vrakeshwar Pandit came and stayed in his ashram for 1 month. And every day dancing and chanting and explaining the glories of Krishna, he became, as Srila Prabhupada would say, he became infected by Krishna consciousness. And then he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he surrendered. And Lord Chaitanya said, just as he said to the Digvijay Pandit, that you have all this knowledge, but it's useless. But now, if you apply it to Krishna and service to Krishna, it will be unlimitedly valuable. Now, as Srila Prabhupada said, you may have so many zeros, but if you put the one in front, then all those zeros make that one a very, very valuable figure. So, all this knowledge that these jnanis may have, and even achieving mukti, which is sought about, everyone is seeking mukti. Or even these karmakandis, who do all these yajnas and everything. They may be, by material estimation, in everyone's mind, they may be worshipped. No. It's like Srila Prabhupada speaks about in previous purports about the yogis. No. And especially in explaining these verses that he explains in the purport, he explains that yogis and jnanis, they may achieve such a degree of perfection that everyone in this world worships them. No. Just like we see people are fascinated by some great yogi who can do some mystical performance. And people are fascinated. They see us and they think, well, you know, we're just kind of ordinary. Actually, even when I was coming to Krishna consciousness and I was also practicing yoga, and when I first heard about the devotees and I saw how they ate, because I was only eating fruit and nuts and, you know, and like raw things, and, you know, worried about all these pranas and how they get nicely lined up. And I was thinking, how can these people have any knowledge? Look at the way they eat, you know, all these fried things and, you know. And finally, they convinced me to take prasadam. You know? I said, I can't eat these things. It'll bring down my consciousness. You know? I said, just try it. You know? So I tried a piece of a samosa. I was like, can I try a little more? I think I ate 18 samosas and I practically died. You know? Because just the power of prasadam. You know? But before, if somebody doesn't have that mercy, you know, they think that these things are superior. No. But this verse says, Rupa Goswami, he's stating this from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says something very similar, that Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. That if there's Krishna Bhakti, no, we can understand that theoretically. But Krishna Bhakti Rasa, if you want to get the taste for devotional service, then there's a price. Kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. There's a certain price that you have to pay. And what is that price? Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. There's only one price. And that price is that you have to be very, very greedy for devotional service. You have to desire it so much. And what does that mean? you know, what does it mean to be greedy for devotional service? What it means is that you have to be willing to undergo anything and everything that Krishna puts in your path in order to be able to serve Him. Serving Krishna with no motivations and serving Krishna uninterruptedly has to be so important that nothing can stop you from doing it. Now, Lord Kapila Dev, he says this in his explanations to his mother about the nature of devotional service, that it can never be stopped. No? Sarvaguhaye, Matir Sarvaguhaye, and Manogatir Avichchina, that the mind flowing toward the lotus feet of Krishna is just like the Ganga, so powerful that it cannot be stopped by anything. No. So when we have this type of desire to serve Krishna, otherwise, if I get sick, if I have a problem, if I have money, if I don't have money, because sometimes having money is a bigger problem than not having money. No. Like when we don't have money, then it's kind of easy to depend on Krishna. Just like Manigriva and Nalakuvara. No, Narada Muni cursed them. He was contemplating, how can I make them a little humble? They're so proud that they don't even recognize my presence. So he said, sometimes when a poor man, someone has something and they become poor, then they appreciate it very much. So let me make them the poorest of the poor, you know, trees, and then they will appreciate. You know. So, but it, sometimes having money or having opulence or having power is very dangerous because we forget about the need to depend exclusively on Krishna. No. We think, I have money. No. Why do I need to depend on Krishna? No. I can perform my devotional service any way I want. I have knowledge. Why do I need the mercy of the devotees? I can just figure this all out by myself. So these things can become very dangerous. And therefore, Janma Koti Sukritaya Nalabhyate, Rupa Goswami says, same thing he says here. That even if you perform pious activities for thousands of years, no, it will produce no result. No. So, this is the introduction. This is the introduction. And as a concluding point, I just want to mention the last verse of the three verses. Well, two verses that were quoted by Srila Prabhupada, one and a half. So, the last verse, which we just read, you know, that unless you take the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas on your head, no understanding of Krishna will be possible. You know. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted, says that we should discuss, we should understand. That, otherwise, it's speaking about devotional service cannot be obtained by any mechanical or personal process, it cannot be attained. So this is the point that Srila Prabhupada is making in his purport, and that's what we'll be discussing tomorrow. Then how do you obtain it? So Srila Prabhupada gives us the hint that will be further discussed in the next 10, 12 verses. No. It is by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Now why does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami bring this out in this particular point, in this particular point of the evolution of the verse, of his subject matter here, because he has just warned us, by logic you can't understand Krishna. If you commit offenses, you cannot understand Krishna. No. If you don't understand the position of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you cannot attain Krishna. No. And he says, even if you have knowledge or perfection in pious activities, you still cannot attain Krishna, which is done by bhakti. And now he will emphasize, you cannot have bhakti, which Srila Prabhupada has already given us the introduction, unless you have the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So this will be the subject matter. How bhakti will become manifest will be the subject matter of the next few verses. So just like in the soap operas, the organ comes in. What will he do next? So we'll leave that for tomorrow. So I'll stop here. And any questions, comments? Or?